come on, we can do better than that. Have anybody laid their burdens down? Huh? Look, don't play with me today. Has anybody laid their burdens down? Have you taken your burdens to God and laid them at His feet? Because if you have, God has taken your burdens and made your way a little bit easier. Somebody ought to give God some praise. For when the babies were singing that song, and I was thinking about when I laid my burdens down, and I was hoping they would go to one more verse when it says, every round gets higher and higher ever since I've laid my burden. To lay down my burdens. Amen. If you were like me, you had a whole lot of them. And baby, some of them I just couldn't handle by myself. And so I had to give it to God, because if it's not, I was going to crack up. Amen. And somebody ought to thank God. Amen. Give God some praise in here this morning. Amen. Glory be to God for His goodness and His mercy. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master. We thank you now for you being present with us today. And we pray, Master, that while you're here with us, that you give us all that we need. For it is only through you, Lord God, that we receive the medicine, Lord God, that we need for our sickness. Lord God, it's only through you that we receive the knowledge that we need, Lord God, to move forward. So we come this morning to say thank you for all things. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let your heart say amen. Amen. Our opening scripture today comes from Psalms 33. And it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn 400.
Oh,
Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We come to you this morning, Master, to say thank you. For we always want to open our prayers with a word of thanks. Because we realize that you have done such an awesome thing for us. And Master, we do not want to be disrespectful in how we respond to you. So we always want to say thank you. Because when we look back over our lives, we can see all the greatness that you performed in our lives, the miracles, Lord God, the things, Lord God, that you helped us through. So we say thanks. But Master, we come today to say thanks for even more things. Because Master, you never stop giving. You never stop watching. You never stop listening. You never stop blessing. You never stop touching. You never stop lifting. You never stop stabilizing, Master. And you're always there for us. So we come this morning to say thank you for your very presence in our lives. Because we know we wouldn't be where we are today without you. Master, we wouldn't be able to accomplish the things that we've been able to accomplish without you. Master, we wouldn't be sitting in the place of life that we're sitting in without you. So we come this morning and say thanks because we owe you thanks for all things, not some things, but all things. Even the things we consider to be small in our lives, we ought to tell you thank you. Master, when we can feel the wind blow, we ought to say thank you. Master, when we're able to see our loved ones, we ought to say thank you. Even when someone says a nice word to us, we ought to say thank you. Because we know that you are such a strategic God and such a detailed God that you plan all the way down even until, Lord God, where we are sitting on the day and just watching TV, you plan that. So we come this morning and say thank you. Thank you for all that you have placed in our life, the love that you give us, the love that you share with us, for without you we would not have it. We ask now these blessings, Lord God, in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let our hearts say amen. We ask now that our officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
I'm so glad.
Our Master, we come to say thank you, Lord God, for what has been given here today. We pray that you bless it, Lord God, in order that it can reach all of this world. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Come on, we all should be standing to our feet to give our children a hand clap of praise, amen. Them babies sung that song, amen, amen. Give them a hand clap of praise, amen. That's not an easy song to sing, amen, amen. Glory be to God, amen. Let us bow our heads. Oh, Father God, we come now, Master, asking that you speak to your people. Oh, Lord God, that you use this old wretched vessel that stands behind this holy desk, because there's nothing holy about me without you. You are the source of our righteousness. You are the source of our holiness. Master, we can't speak unless you say speak. And we can't move unless you say move. And so we come today, Lord God, asking that you talk to your people, for they're not my people, they are your people. And Master, when you talk, things happen. When I talk, nothing moves. But if you talk, things happen. So we come today, Lord God, asking that you speak now unto your people. We ask for these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we'll begin reading at verse number 6. And it says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with these people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And verse 8 says, and the Lord, he it is that do go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen. Amen. That's kind of a tongue twister. But we are still yet dealing in our series of preaching, moving forward with God. And we're now in part 3 of our series. And if I had to give this part of the series a topic or a title, it would be Courage is Required. Let me say that again. Courage is required. In part 1, I informed you that we are moving forward with God. In order for us to move forward with God, we must be first humble. And I said we must humble ourselves, realizing that we can't rest on what we did last year. And then in part 2, I said that we must have passion. We must love that which God has called us to do so much that nothing can stop us from doing it. Now today I come to tell you we must have courage. Here in this text, Moses is preparing the children of Israel for a great accomplishment. And he's preparing them mentally to go into the promised land. And I know you're probably thinking, well, why would he have to prepare them to go into their promised land? If the land has been promised to them and they desire to take the land, then they ought to just go over into their promised land. Well, I tell you that no promise comes without obstacles. No promise comes without there being some things that you have to go through to get to the promise. Many of us, we don't like to go through stuff, so we kind of try to go around things. But I tell you that in order for you to get your promise, you got to go through. In order for you to go through, you must not only be humble and have passion, but you got to have courage. Moses find himself talking with them about this because he realized his time is up. He can't go over into the promised land with them. One, because he's getting older. Two, because he disobeyed God. And he's sharing with them that we are at the brink of receiving our promise, but your leader who's been with you for 40 years, who's led you through many things, conquered many enemies, brought you out of slavery, I can't go into the promise with you. Can you imagine how that made them feel? The man who stabilized them, who helped them to get beyond their limitations, who helped them become a strong and powerful nation, when they get to the place of receiving the promise, he can't go with them. Let me tell you something. You have to be careful. That's why I told y'all, don't put me on the pedestal. Because God will have no other God before him. My title may be pastor, but that don't make me a God. So please don't put me on a pedestal. Please don't put anyone on a pedestal, because when you put someone on a pedestal, God will surely pull them down. Because he said, I am a jealous God. And I have no other God before me. So Moses was not able to go over into the promised land, and this caused them to be concerned. This was a disappointment for some of them. It was disheartening. They're discouraging. It calls for concern for many of them, because the one person who they can look to see earthly who could get them past their problems couldn't go with them. We must realize that there's only one God. We must realize that we must put our faith in God and God alone. Moses is sharing this with them because he wants them to refocus their trust. Although God's been working all these miracles, the people saw Moses. Although God had been doing all these great things, all they could see was Moses. Because that's how we are. Naturally, we latch on to what we can see. We have trouble with latching on to that which we cannot see. It's hard for most of us because we can't touch it. We can't smell it. We can't see it. So because we can't use our senses to recognize it, we have a problem with it. Moses is trying to help them to realize, you don't need me. You already got what you need. All along, God has been with us. God has been delivering us. You've been looking at me, but it has not been me. It's been God. Church, we must have courage in the right way. We must have courage that God will do what he said he would do. We must have courage and believe that God has all power in the palm of his hand. I said that because, you know, some of us, soon as something happens, we freak out. Our faith leaves us. Our courage leaves us. How do you know that, Reverend? Because we focus so much on our issue, we forgot who can bring us over. We are so concerned about what's before us, we forget to realize that we have someone with us who can take us through it. Moses is trying to help them to see that I'm not who you think I am. I'm just a man. But there's one who has all power in the palm of his hands. Look at the text. The text here says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. In the promised land, there were giants.
that they would have to conquer once they got there. Remember in the story that this is not their first time coming to the Jordan. This is their second trip. It has taken them 40 years to get back to where they can attain the promise. I'm sharing that because sometimes we lose our promise because of fear. When they came to the Jordan the first time, they sent spies over into the land to see what was in the promised land. And the spies came back and said, there are giants there. They're men who are 9 feet tall. Powerful looking men. Strong looking men. And all of them was fearful except for one. One said that we can take them. Because he realized that it was not going to occur in their own strength, but it's going to occur in the strength of God. Church, I'm saying, in order for us to move forward with God, we got to have courage.
Amen.
You can't move forward with God if you're afraid of the unknown. Just because you don't know what can happen doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. Some of us are so fearful when we don't understand the unknown, we won't move. We won't make a decision. We freeze. God says you got to get past your fear. Guess what courage is? Matter of fact, this word that Moses used for courage is amat in Hebrew. Hebrew means to be strong, to be bold, to act as if there is something more important than fear. Courage doesn't mean that you don't recognize fear. Courage means that you recognize the fear, but you don't let the fear stop you. Some of us have allowed things to stop us because we can sense fear. God didn't say there would not be any fear. Fear will be there. But your job as a child of God is to have enough courage to overcome your fear. In order for us to move forward, church, we must have courage. Huh? Because we're going to have to do some things that some of us don't like. We're going to have to do some things that some of us don't agree with. We're going to have to do some things that some of us are fearful of. But God says, you have got to get beyond that to do my will. I heard a preacher say in a conference once, here we are in the 20th century, and we still leading the church with a horse and buggy mentality. We're beyond the horse and buggy. There's some things that we got to get used to. One for me is I got to get used to not hearing pages flip when I tell you what the text is for today. Because everybody got one of these. In order for us to move forward, we have to do some things different. We got to be courageous in our efforts. I'm not saying be stupid and do things crazy. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you got to get beyond your own little fears in order to be successful with God. Look at what Moses told the people. He says, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He didn't say that it's man that go with thee. So when it is God that goes with you, you don't move in your own power. Did y'all hear me? You don't do things in your own power when you move with God. When you go forward with God, it is God that operates out of his power to make things happen for you. I think the problem that we have in most of our churches is we're doing things out of our own power. That's why the church hasn't moved beyond where we are now. And I'm about to say something. Please believe me. I try not to be offensive. Martin Luther King is no longer living. We got to move beyond what he. As great as he is, we still got to move forward. As long as we stay right where we are with that, we're not going to move forward. The church got to start doing some new things. And not necessarily some new things, we got to just start doing more of what God say do. And not just that part of it that we're comfortable with. Children, I apologize. I wanted to do a sermon for them today, but I had to continue this series. Because God wants us to know that in order for us to do what he knows that we can do, we got to stop thinking with that old mindset. I remember my very first sermon I preached. And Lord have mercy, I was up there forever and a day, but I didn't know about timing then. Let me see how much time I got left, as a matter of fact. Okay, I got a little time. But I preached for an hour and a half, didn't realize I was up there that long. But I was so excited. I had so much to say. I went back and listened to it, I realized I did 5 sermons. Good God, boy, you had a whole lot to say. But one of the things that I talked about was being careful of tradition. Because when we hold too tight to our traditions, we actually strangle the movement and the power of God. I'm not saying tradition is not important. We should always hold our tradition to a place. But when our traditions put a stranglehold on God, and I'm going to say this, most of the time we hold on to it so much, it's because we're afraid to move forward. We feel fear about moving forward. Don't let your fear bother you. That's a natural human response. You're supposed to have fear, but not fear to the place where it scares you, where you can't move forward. These people were standing at Jordan, about to receive the promise. They were so afraid. God had promised them all these things. Now listen to this. Not only had he promised them all these things, he had worked so many things in their lives already. Why do when we get to the promise, when we see just a small obstacle, we get fearful, forgetting about all the things that God had already done? He pulled them out of slavery without them having to lift a finger. Destroyed their enemy miraculously. He parted the Red Sea. And while he was parting the Red Sea, he kept the enemy from getting to them by putting a wall of fire. Then when they tried to come across, he closed the sea and killed the enemy. When they were hungry, he fed them from heaven. But when they get to the promised land, they forget about all the stuff that he did. They allow fear to overcome them. And they had to go through the wilderness for 40 long years. And now here they are back at that same place again. And Moses is trying to help them by telling them, be of good cheer. Have courage. Recognize your fear, but don't let your fear overcome you. Because the one who really is leading you is not me. The one who's leading you and making a way from you for you is God. And God has all power in the palm of his hands. The text goes on to say, if you continue to read, that they found courage. Church, find courage. Find courage to move forward with God. Stop operating out of stuff that you're comfortable with because you're not comfortable with the other stuff. Although the Bible say to do it. Lord, have mercy. Well. Because they found courage, guess what God did? He showed them just who he is again. The Bible said he pardoned Jordan, just like he did the Red Sea. He split the waters, blew the ground dry, and allowed them to cross over. Let me be a little bit more detailed with that before I close out, though. The Bible says that when the priests were carrying the ark, because Jordan is a mighty flowing river. It's not a still river. I don't want you to think that this water was just still water and it was shallow water. It was deep water that's powerful and moves swiftly. The Bible says when the priests who were carrying the ark stepped in the water stopped flowing. They were carrying the word of God. Church, as long as we're moving forward, encouraged with the word of God, God said he'll do whatever it takes to make you successful. He stopped the waters and then parted the waters, so when the priests walked through, they walked through on dry ground. And then the people are able to walk through as well. And then after everyone got through and the priests finally got out the water, guess what the Bible says the water did? The water started back running again. Church, if you have courage to get beyond your traditions, like the moderator said, you ain't seen nothing yet. God's already started working. We had a Bible study, Sunday school class today for the children. Guess how many children were in there? I don't know if y'all like me, but that's significant to me. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Get beyond your fears and watch God. The Bible says if you get beyond your fears, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The doors of my Father's house are now open. Give God a hand clap of praise. If you do not know God in free pausing, your sins, the time is now. The Bible says, find God, for surely there come a time when he cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are now open. Say, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you to say thank you, Master, for this word that you've shared with us today. For Master, we realize that if we have courage, it also say that we have faith in you. For we can't see you,
but we can feel you. We want our faith to continue to grow in you. And we pray, we know that that comes through courage. Give us courage. We pray that we can grow in our courage, because our strength will be found in our faith. Be with us as we leave this place. Watch over and protect us. As we go, Master, go with us. Go before us. Because we know that if you go before us, you'll make our way straight. Keep us until we return back unto this place, where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart sing. Thank you.